So our brother Marvin brings us this message this evening. I know that he appreciates your silent prayers and your kind attention as he brings us the message. Our brother Marvin.
Thank you, David. Yes, it is something we all desire, is the prayers of everybody to help us along the way in this life and when we stand here before you and deliver the message that been placed upon our hearts, and we all need help. I'd like to start off here in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, long about the sixth chapter. And I'd start here and read just a little, beginning with verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every generation of the thoughts of his heart was only continually evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it was nice that he did. Otherwise, we might not be here today. But he did find grace, and you know, the people were not good. The culture had become corrupted. Evil, as it says, continually. That's kind of the way it was, if you remember, in the Book of Mormon, the Jaredites. You know, it was the same way there. And I go there and read just a little bit on page 440. In verse 57, I'd read here a little. And except they repent, I will destroy them from off the face of the earth, and I will bring to light all their secrets and abominations unto every nation that shall hereafter possess the land. And now, my son, we see that they did not repent. Therefore, they have been destroyed, and thus far the word of God has been fulfilled. Yea, their secret abomination has been brought out of darkness and made known unto us. These are the Lamanites and the Nephites here that were brought here after the destruction of the Jaredites because of their wickedness. They were removed. Now, when the Lord destroyed them at Noah's time, you know, that must have been close to 99% and 99,000 of them that was removed. You know, there was evidently millions of people living there, but how many were spared? You know, it was only 8 people on the ark that was there out of millions. And how about the Jaredites? Well, 100% of those were removed, destroyed. Why? Because they turned their back upon the Lord. They worshipped other things other than the Lord, and they wouldn't follow him as they should. But I'd like to go over here and finish this ball on that. 752 on that, and I'll read here just a little bit. Because I've heard controversy over this in the Church of Christ, and I don't know why. It's mystery to me. But here on page 752, verse 21, and in the second year, the word of the Lord came to Ether, that he should go and prophesy unto Coriantumr, that if he would repent, and all his household, the Lord would give unto him his kingdom and spare his people. Otherwise, they should be destroyed, and all his household, save it were himself, and he should only live to see the fulfilling of the prophecy which had been spoken concerning another people receiving the land for their inheritance. Now here, all the Jaredites were removed. They were destroyed, and they were no more. And you know, I've heard it in this Church of Christ. People say, well, they wasn't all destroyed at all. It was just that they were destroyed over in this valley here. They were all destroyed there, but those that was over here 100 miles away, you know, they lived, and then they integrated into the Nephites when they come here, and we're not able to tell them apart. It's a mystery to me. Why would anybody make that statement? What is our problem? I guess they got a problem like me, that we forget what we read. I don't know if anybody here forgets more than I do. But this is what the Scripture says. They destroyed it. It speaks of that in elsewhere as well, that the Lord removed them because they turned their backs upon His commandments and wouldn't follow His commandments as they should. And so they were eliminated. Now I'd like to go back here into the book of Daniel and read here just a little bit. Daniel, second chapter. And I'd read here on verse 19, a couple of verses here. Now this is Daniel here, and you know, they, Nebuchadnezzar's had a dream, and he forgot what it was. The Lord removed that intelligence from him. But you know, he knew he had a dream, but he couldn't remember what it was. So he asked the wise men and all of that, and they can't tell him what it is because they don't know. And then they just keep going on, and the king is very unhappy and with him. And so he gives a command that all the Chaldeans, the wise men, should be put to death. So here we are, and Daniel and them, they've been told about that, so they go to the Lord for help and guidance. And this is his answer after he's had it. In verse 19 here, "Then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and for might. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." And so here, the Lord gives to Daniel the understanding of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar has, and then removed it. Now, I know what that is because, you know, I had the same thing with me. You know, in a dream I was given, and something of it was taken away from me. I couldn't remember. When I woke up, I knew I had it. I knew it was there, but it was gone out of my mind. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, it was gone from his mind, but he knew he had that dream. I knew I had mine in that. Well, it took 12 years for the Lord to reveal what was given to me that I had forgot. I didn't forget. He removed it for his reasons, but here he did leave it with the king, and so in the process, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego become very great in his kingdom. But Daniel is at the gate of his kingdom. And he blesses him, and you know, he blesses him more. But anyway, it is the Lord that puts kings or people in authority. Wherever they be, whether here in the United States or what, the president that we have, today the Lord has put there for his work. And, you know, he's doing as he wants. He's disregarding Congress, and Congress is no better than he is, and he's just doing as he wants. Well, he's doing the Lord's help, but not knowing it. If you all remember, Yeats, Leon Yeats, there we go, I got the name. Leon Yeats had a dream some years ago. He seen an army invading the United States out of Mexico. You remember that? Well, what is that army? You know, in 85, they nationalized 5 million of the Mexicans in the United States. Now we got between 10 and 15 more million of them that have come into the United States illegal. But you know, Obama is the one that's doing it, but at the hand of the Lord. He don't know that he's doing the Lord's work. He's not aware of it. But he is, you know. It's just like the people at Noah's time were destroyed because of their wickedness. They forgot the Lord. The Jaredites were the same thing. They were removed because of their wickedness. They turned away from the Lord. They wouldn't keep his commandments. Today, you know, the Lord has said the same thing would happen to any nation that inhabits this land that do not keep him in their hearts. In this nation, the culture of it, it isn't just here, it's all over the world. The culture has become very evil in this society. It's really kind of sad what is happening. But you know, our president is bringing the evil out of the woodwork. It's just all over. And as you know, they want you to celebrate with the gays and all of that. We're told you're to be tolerant of them. Yeah, tolerant of them. But how can you be tolerant of evil? Are you to be tolerant of evil? Never. And yet, you know, they ridicule you, they call you a racist, they'll call you anything to shame you into accepting that which is not good. You hear about this political correct situation, that everything is political correct. Well, Satan's behind that thought and all of that. You know, he's having a wonderful time. He knows his time is short, and so he's doing everything he can there. But here in Daniel, the Lord reveals to him what is to be. But as he says, the Lord puts in power whoever he wants. I'd like to go back into the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, and read there in the 8th chapter. And I'll read and start on verse 6. Now, Samuel here is their prophet, and he's really their judge as well. He's going about as the Lord directs him. And the people are saying, give us a king. We want a king. We don't want the Lord. We want a king to lead us. And so here we are, Samuel. He don't like it, but he goes to the Lord, and the Lord tells him here. And verse 6 says, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. So here he as you know, they anoint Samuel, not Samuel, but Saul. They make him king. As the Lord says, the Lord said to Samuel, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, their Lord and Savior. Well, that's kind of the way it is in this nation today. The people have rejected their Lord and their Savior. Has everybody done that? No, there's some good people here and there, but find them. The Lord knows where they're at. And so this conflict is coming upon us on this world here, on this nation. They have a hard feelings against Israel or the Jews throughout this nation in the world. Satan is just beating the bushes, bringing up hatred against them. And, you know, he's also bringing hatred up in the world against the United States as well. We're not thought of very well in the world, and I can understand why that feeling is so with what goes on in this nation. It is not good at all. It's just like the Jaredites and the time of Noah, you know, they were removed. So are the people of this nation evil as well. if you remember, the Lord set up the church in the latter days in 1830. And it's had a hard time along the way, but it is prospering. It is doing better. But, you know, we're kind of isolated in an island, if you want to put it that way. The world doesn't look at Christianity very well. We have going on in the world today some new organizations. The Christians and the Muslims are trying to, some of them, work together, you know. After all, we, as they say, we also serve the same God. And can't we get together in that? Well, they would try to, but you cannot mix Satan and the Lord together, good and evil. You can't mix them together. They don't work. And yet, our society is accepting the Muslims or the Islams, that they have several, just a great number of organizations here in the United States that are trying to bring together the Christians and the Muslims. One of them is known as the CAMP organization that they're trying to bring together, that, you know, we all worship the same God. Can't we all work together? Now they have one organization called Chrislam. It's half word for Christian and the word, the rest of the word for Islam. And it's C-H-R-I-S-L-A-M. You notice Islam is the last part of it. It's made up altogether. They want to join up, and, you know, we get together with the Muslims and that. But, you know, it's not a good organization at all. And, you know, they have some of the big mega churches are also in that, are working there. And one of them is the pastor of the Saddleback Church. I think it's in California, but I'm not sure. But anyway, a few years back, he addressed the Muslims in Washington, D.C. there, the the Muslim set up the organization, and he preached there to them, and there was 8,000 Muslims there in that organization that he preached to, that we can all work together. We all worship the same God. Well, they may worship the same God, that I will not say, but we do not worship the same God that they do at all. They worship somebody other than our Lord and Savior. It's easy to say we all worship the same God, but you know, if you don't worship the Lord and keep His commandments and follow Him, you do not follow Him. You're not worshiping Him. You're worshiping something else. So, but we have another, the most highly publicized response called loving God and neighboring together. That's the Christians and the Muslims. Was written by four men out of the University of Yale. You know, that used to be a religious college at one time. The response included a line, "Before we shake your hand in response to your letter, we ask forgiveness of the All-Merciful One and of the Muslim community around the world." Yes, we want to be with you, but we want to apologize for being a little bit hard against you. That is the way that they are looking at these things. As I say, there is a number of organizations that are present. As I read, whether it's so or not, I don't know, but as I read, there's 2,000 mosques in the United States now. Now, their aim, the Muslims, is to overcome the Christians. Do away with the Christians altogether. That is their aim. Right now, we'll work with you and all that, but once we become dominant, then we will be the only one. Then they have another one called the Bridge of Faith, where they're trying to work together to bring all Christians and Muslims together. Now, there's a lot of them that think that Islam is good and all of that. But you know, the Lord does not recognize all of these 30,000 plus churches in the world. He only recognizes one. That's this Church of Christ. No other church does He recognize or have anything to do with. Individuals are one thing. There are good individuals around that will, somewhere along the line, as He touches their hearts, they'll come into His church. But you know, as I said before, even in the Church of Christ, not everybody's going to be saved. Sorry to say that it will not be. I hope that I am. I don't want to be on the left hand of God. That is a very sad place to be. But the Lord has put our president in office, which is not a good one. But you know, our Congress is no better. No matter which side of the aisle you look at, they're all crummy. They're all bad. The old saying, the Lord has given the people enough rope that they can hang themselves. And they are. There's World War III just around the corner. And it's going to be good. It's going to remove the evil. Not 100% of it, but it's going to remove a good portion of it. And then the church can go forth then. And there will be a great conversion. How many of the people are going to be destroyed in this war that's coming up? You know, it's 100% with the Jaredites. 99% plus with the time of Noah. What's it going to be with this time? Well, I just make a wild guess. Maybe 90%. Why only 90%? Well, you know, the Lord has made promise to Abraham that He'd look after His children. He'd bless them in the latter days. In fact, We read about that in our Wednesday evening scripture when Bob gives that to us, that they will be blessed here in the latter days. Not only that, but the Lord also made another promise to little Joseph. We all remember little Joseph. The problems that he had, you know, his brothers were jealous of him, didn't like him, was going to kill him. And finally, you know, they decided, well, let's just sell him and get rid of him. Sell him on down into Egypt. So that's what they did. He was there a good number of years. Faithful, very faithful to the Lord in all of the evil that was around him. And yet he was very faithful. He became the second ruler in Egypt. There, you know, he brought down his family into Egypt, and they were there for a number of years. I know at one time, I thought, you know, it says they were there 430 years in Egypt. Well, that's an incorrect statement, really. They were never in Egypt that long a time. That 430 years begin with Abraham. I knew they wasn't there that long later on, but I couldn't put my finger on just how long they were. And so I'd done some looking and such and not, and I figured out the dates and such that in the Bible and worked them back and tried to figure them out. Well, I still come out wrong, but I did find out later that it gives it a pretty near feature of how long they were there. But, you know, nobody mentioned how long they were there. I thought, well, that's an odd thing. Even the preachers of the world don't say anything about it as a whole. But I did find out a little bit later, and I think it's probably pretty near right, that they were in Egypt just a speck over 200 years, that they were actually in Egypt. But you know why they were there and wandering around? Apparently they must have lost about all their records concerning the Lord and Savior, because it was given to Moses, all of those things that were given, and yet he just rehearsed some of the stuff that were given to the people before the flood, because they could not have worshipped the Lord their God and been saved like Enoch. There, you know, the whole city was translated. How do they do that? They had to have the laws of God, just the same as we have the laws of God. And the Lord translated them. They were not. And yet, that same thing, our gospel's here today for us to follow, and to follow the Lord and to keep His commandments. The people of this nation are really not keeping the commandments. Some of them want to do that very much so. There are really some nice people around. I don't argue that. But there are few and far between. Too many of them want to choose to be tolerant of these societies that's going around. But you know, the Lord said these secret societies, and you know, it's in Washington and throughout this nation, throughout the world, these secret societies. And they are not good. They're put there forth by the adversary, and they want to overcome the good in the world. These secret societies are not good whatsoever. But nevertheless, Islam is making headway all the time. But the Lord will take care of it. We have to do what? Keep His commandments and obey Him. We're to have that charity, that love in our hearts to help one another as we can. And that we are to go from there. But you know, the people of old, they had quite a little bit of problems. I'd like to go over in the book of Hosea, in the fourth book there, and read a little bit. Now, I'd read here on verse 1 and 2. This is what Hosea was speaking to the people. Hosea was really along about the same time Isaiah was too. They were both together at one time. Whether at this time that Hosea gives us that Isaiah was a prophet and speaking that, I don't know. But he gives that Isaiah lived quite a long time, up in the 90s as I read. But he wasn't necessarily a prophet all those 90 years, but he was for a good many, many years. And here in Hosea speaks in the fourth chapter, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." And you know, that's kind of the way really it is today. Just like that. You hear them speak about it, but you know, really, they're not following the Lord. They're a little bit, in my opinion, a little bit like the Pharisees and Sadducees. A lot of them. Verse 2, "By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood." That's how they evil they were. Could you blame the Lord for removing them? No, they were like Sodom and Gomorrah. Kind of the way the nation is today, Sodom and Gomorrah. This gay movement just going great guns. It is not good at all. You cannot tolerate evil. I would read one more verse here. Verse 5, I'll skip down a few verses here. "Therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." As it says here in the fifth verse, that he would not recognize their priest, you know. They weren't really following the laws of God. If you remember, they had a great number of prophets of Baal that was prophesying to the people and teaching them, like we have today. It's no different, only we don't call them Baal, but it wouldn't be wrong to. Now, I realize that some of the people out there, good people, they don't know about the Church of Christ. They just don't know about us. And so some of them look at the churches as not very good. And I can understand that. They wonder where to go. Well, the Lord does direct and touch the hearts of the people and brings them back. He brought them back, you know, the 7-year captivity they had. He brought them back, which was the more righteous bunch of people. But you know that they even had problems in captivity there those 70 years. If you remember the book of Esther, that's quite a touching story that there, how the Lord will look after his people if they will but keep his commandments. I'd like to go back here into the book of Nehemiah and read a little in the 9th chapter. In ninth chapter, and I'll read here on the 13th verse. Now this here is, he's speaking about the time the children of Israel are there at Mount Sinai. Thou comest down also upon Mount Sinai, and speaketh unto them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. Isn't that what he has also given to us today? He has. We here, we do try to follow those things and keep his commandments and have that charity in our hearts that we want. Everybody here wants to be in the kingdom of heaven with the Lord. That's going to be a wonderful place. I'd like to go back over here in the book of John. Fourteenth chapter, I'd read here. And I'd start here on verse 21, read a verse or two. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How will he manifest himself to you? By his Holy Spirit. I can remember of a testimony a young lady here gave a few years back. And she was driving, I think, back from Denver. And she was going to pull out and pass around the car. And the Spirit of the Lord told her to watch out for a car behind her. That's how the Lord manifests himself to us in this day. He gives us that protection. When danger is close, he warns us. I can remember one time, I was many years ago, while I was working there in a mill. I finished up the work for the day. It was about quitting time and cleaning up. And we made pellets there is what we did. And I run the machine, and it made what we call a molasses pellet. It was grain, wheat, barley, oats, or whatever we put in it, or corn, but it always had molasses, and it was a good-sized machine. I think it had a 60-horsepower motor on it to run it, 440 amp electricity, and so we'd come to the end of the day, and it was cleaning it out, and the die, probably almost 10, 12 inches, and it probably weighed something like 25 pounds the die, and it had jaws on it to hold that down. And of course, you take it and put them jaws on it and then screw it down tight so that everything is tight. So I unscrewed them, and I took the top die off, and I was just getting ready to hit that bottom jaw off of it. The Lord says, don't stand there. And I think, what? So I move off to the side, and then I hit that jaw that was holding that die on, and it shot out there, about 2 foot, 3 foot. If I'd have been in front of that, I'd have been crippled for life, probably. It would have sure whacked me again. That's the way the Lord can manifest himself to you. By dreams, by visions, you know, as it says in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter there. Those different ways that the Lord is able to communicate with you, to instruct you, to guide you. It says, keep my commandments. Now, verse 22. Judah said unto him, not Icarus, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Well, you know, he's new in the gospel, and we were the same way at one time. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, our abode is the same thing as manifestation of the Spirit that will come to you. He blesses his people with those that with his Spirit to guide them, to warn them of danger, to instruct them to do something, or whatever. I know I've been very, sorry to say, very diligent at times of not obeying the Spirit of the Lord and doing what it tells me. And I guarantee you, you always suffer when you don't obey the Spirit. You will suffer every time. As it says here, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. And Jesus was one that was sent here to do the will of the Father. He says he does nothing but what the Lord commands him to say and to do. He does that. He wants you and me to follow him. He wants the people of the world to follow him. But the people are going along just like ancient Israel had done in time and nor. They're going in their own way, ill regardless of what the Lord wants. And the Lord is going to put a stop to it before very long. And then we will have that peace. It'll be a chance to really enjoy the Spirit of the Lord at that time. He will instruct us, as it says, and that's what we are to do, to keep his commandments the best we can. The best I can, I still come up short. But the Lord will strengthen us as we try. But you know, Satan is always there. Come on, Marvin, let's go this way, or let's go this way. Satan is always a knocking on everybody's door. We got to resist him and be strong in the ways of the Lord. Thank you.